This is the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders. Here's your host, JT the Brick.
Welcome to week six of the official Raiders podcast. I'm your host, JT, and an interesting podcast that we have lined up for you. First off, we have great guests, but things are changing on the fly. As you know, this is not a live radio show, it's a podcast. And we do a big job every week at Silver and Black Productions, trying to give you the best content we can, and then piece it together when we have coaches and players, and then we put it out so you're able to have it a few days before the game. This has been a trying week because of the fires, the North Bay fires, and the relief efforts that are going on. So as we finally put the end of this podcast together, there's a lot of uncertainty going on with the game coming up Sunday with the Chargers in town to take on the Raiders. Stay at Raiders.com. Just stay at Raiders.com. That's where you get all your information on the game, the location of the game, if they're going to move the game, because these fires have been so unreal all week long that we cannot accurately tell you as we put the finishing touches and wrap this up if there's going to be a game on time, if it's going to be in Oakland, if it's going to be moved. But the Raiders put out a tweet tonight saying we continue to monitor air quality conditions in the Bay Area and are in close communication with the NFL, the Chargers, and local authorities. At this point, the game remains scheduled for Sunday in Oakland. So that's where we'll leave you as we begin the podcast with our guests coming up here. And just stay on Raiders.com and take a look every day at it coming into the game on Sunday. And we'll find out what happens here. But hopefully the game goes off and it's a big one because the Raiders play the Chargers in a divisional game coming up at 1:25 p.m. at the Oakland Alameda County Coliseum. And we'd obviously like to see that game played in Oakland on time for all of the first responders, all of the families that have been affected by the fires, the alumni and the families of the Raiders. It's been a tough couple of days, a couple of weeks around here because of what happened in Las Vegas and then the fires coming. And the Raiders have done a tremendous job in the community. As you know, Bay Area teams have donated over $450,000 so far, and that number continues to grow to support the North Bay fire relief efforts. And I'm sure that number is going to continue to go up in the next couple of days leading up to the game because the hashtag is Bay Area Unite. Thanks to the Warriors, the A's, the Raiders, the Niners, the Giants, the Quakes, and the Sharks. Everybody understands how important this is. And then going back to the tragedy in Las Vegas, where the Raiders stepped up and donated big money to help the relief situation in Vegas coming off that terrible tragedy. So for everyone at Silver and Black Productions, prayers go out to everyone affected by the recent negative news, not only in the Bay Area, but in Las Vegas. So let's get to the game. The Chargers come in 1-4, and the Raiders are riding a three-game losing streak at 2-3. And if you look at what's been happening with the Raiders over the last couple of weeks, where is their identity? What do they need to do now to come out of this slump and start winning games? With Derek Carr back at quarterback, I think it starts up front with the offensive line. The offensive line has to have a monster game. They've been called out in the media. Fans know that this offensive line hasn't played their best football just yet. Donald Penn talked about it with a guest that we have coming up, Scott Baer from NBC in the Bay Area, on the fact that, you know, they got to shake out of this. They got to start fast. They got to start playing better football. So the offensive line is key. Also on the defensive side, the Raiders rank 23rd in total defense, 25th in rush defense, and 30th in third down efficiency on defense. The defense has to get a lot better quickly, and this is the perfect opponent for that to happen. The Raiders know the Chargers inside and out, and this is a game where they have to get back on track, and Derek Carr will be the leader. Once Carr is back behind center, I think this offense is going to settle down. And if the Raiders can start fast and the offensive line can control the Chargers, then I think momentum will begin to build with this team. I think the defense is going to feed off the crowd. The defense knows if they make one or two big plays, Phillip Rivers tends to put up 50-50 balls. An interception could get this team going, unlike in the loss against Baltimore, where Baltimore came out fast, picked up a turnover, and really controlled the pace of the game. You can call this a must-win game, an important game, whatever you want to call it. But this is a critical game for the Silver and Black. They have two games in 5 days. But you can't think about Kansas City. You could only think of the Chargers, and the Chargers being a wounded animal coming in a rivalry game in the division. And if the Raiders take care of business, like I expect they will, then there'll be a few days to build momentum and get ready for that huge game on Thursday night with a lot of bells and whistles coming against Kansas City. A couple other things about the Chargers. We know Phillip Rivers in his 14th season. He's fifth in the NFL in passing yards, 1,365, seventh in passing touchdowns. He's going to want to throw it up and have a lot of fun like he has in the past at the Coliseum. But the key is the defense and defensive coordinator Gus Bradley. The Chargers' defense is for real. They have Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram. Combined, they lead the NFL in sacks. I'll tell you, the way Ingram's playing, he's leading the team with 7.5 sacks. We talk about Mac, and we're going to have Mario Edwards Jr. joining us here in a few minutes. These are two teams that have some serious defensive end rushers, and the Raiders better have an advantage in this game, and hopefully Khalil Mack and Bruce Irvin outplay the defense of Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa, who are playing with fast and intense motors. So the stats are up. Both teams are struggling. The Raiders 2-3, the Chargers 1-4. And for the Raiders, this is a game they have to have. Put it all together. Be explosive. I tweeted earlier in the week at JT the Brick, this is the game that Todd Downing has to unleash Carr. Take the leash off. Open up that field. Take deep shots down the field. Open up the running game. And hopefully there's a lot of big plays. And once Carr gets going, I think the season's going to get going again. I think the Raiders can get back on that playoff run that we've all expected coming off 12 wins last year, but they need some momentum. And who better than the Chargers? Beat the Chargers at home, in front of the home crowd, stay in the Bay Area, and get Kansas City coming in on a short week and beat them, and it's a completely different season. Our first guest this week on the official Raiders podcast is defensive end Mario Edwards Jr., who has 3 sacks, trailing only Khalil Mack. And Mario, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it. What's it been like this week, the last couple of days, preparing with all the news of the fires and the air quality in Oakland?
Oh, it's been good, man. You know, we try not to let any of the things that we can't control, you know, bother us. We've just been practicing like it's been any other practice, regardless of, you know, how Mother Nature's been acting.
Mario, you're off to a good start this year. How big of a sense of urgency is this game to get the whole season back on track?
I don't think we're focusing on just one particular game to get the season on track. I think we're on track. We just have to, you know, cross a few C's and dot a few I's, and everything will be good. We kind of just, I would say, shot ourselves in the foot, but it's things that we can fix and that we're going to fix.
Yeah, I'm happy you said that, because there's a lot of fans that are saying, well, the team looks sluggish, so they don't look intense earlier. The games are getting out of control and you're digging out of holes. But it seems like everyone in that locker room, to a man, is on the same page that you could flip this and get a couple of wins and start building momentum again.
Right, right. I mean, a lot of our wins were, you know, second half wins last year. You know, I mean, we didn't really start fast, and that was something that we wanted to work on this year, starting fast and, you know, finishing strong. So, you know, we're not concerned about that. You know, we're just focusing on us, the Raiders, and, you know, focusing on what we have to get done come Sunday.
For you personally, you came in with such high expectations, some of the injuries, now to be healthy again. What's it like to be a Raider now, knowing that the fans are pointing towards you for leadership, to become a Pro Bowler, to be a great player in the line of a lot of great Raider defensive linemen who came before you?
I mean, it's great. I mean, I like it. I'm always willing for a big challenge. And, you know I have big shoes to fill, and I love it. You know, but I don't put too much pressure on myself. I'm just the same guy I was before I got hurt. You know, I'm just trying to get back to that guy and be better.
Mario, it's obvious the linebacker core has been decimated with injuries. It's thin to begin with. I don't want to go down the list heading into this Charger game on how many guys have been hurt behind you, but it really seems like this is a game where you, Bruce Irvin, Khalil Mack, if 2 out of 3 is, or all 3 is, have a big game, it's really going to bring some energy to the back end of that secondary and the young linebacking core. Talk about the push you guys need up at front to stop the run and get to Phillip Rivers.
We definitely need a lot of push, you know, to get him. He's a vet quarterback, and he'll pick your part if you let him. So, you know, we definitely understand our job at task, being on the D-line and pressuring the quarterback. And we just know that we have to, you know, we're older than the younger linebackers, so we have to kind of lead by example going out there, you know, staying positive, even if things don't go good. You know, if we have adversity, just staying positive and kind of show them how the game is supposed to be played.
Coach Del Rio, Coach Pagano, Ken Norton, obviously Rod Woodson, a Hall of Famer. There's a lot of defensive minds you have and individual defensive coaches. I would assume you're really embracing the fact that you have all these coaches who have so much experience so young in your career.
Definitely. It's always great to have defensive-minded coaches because, you know, they've played the game and they understand certain schemes and, you know, they always help us as far as, like, getting where we need to be. So it's good having a coach that's been there and played the game and, you know, a player's coach.
Are you still too young to trash talk with Rivers? Well, you know Rivers likes to talk. You know the fans are going to be all over him. Do you kind of calm down and wait for the score or a lead change, or you come right after him?
I do with the trash talk. I mean, I'm not much of a trash talker. I just, you know, go out there and play. So he can talk all he wants. I'm just going to go out there and line up and play.
Hey, Mario, finally on a serious note, you know what happened in Las Vegas with the shooting and now the fires in Northern California. There's a lot of Raider fans who have been affected by all of this. You're involved with the community. What message can you send to the Raider fans who have been hurting over the last couple of weeks and just want to go to a game, not deal with politics, not talk about the fires, what happened in Vegas, and just have fun and see a winning football team?
You know, just to stay strong, man, and knowing that the Raiders are going to go out there and play for them, man, and we're going to go out there and fight for a W for them, and they just need to stay strong, man, and that Raider Nation has them.
Two games in 5 days. You're ready for this. Two games in 5 days can flip this whole season around, and you're going to be a big part of it. Mario, thanks so much for the time. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Dizzy.
Mario's off to a good start this year. If he can continue to play at a high level, he's one of those defensive players that could really get the Raiders back on track. Joining us next on the Official Raiders Podcast, my friend and one of the best insiders in the Raider Nation, Raiders insider from NBC Sports Bay Area, Scott Baer joins us. And Scott, you're around this team as much as anybody I know who's not inside the organization as part of this team. What's going on with this 3-game losing streak, and how do the Raiders snap out of it?
Yeah, they're definitely a little perplexed by how this early season has gone. They expected better from themselves, and that's why I think that during this last 3-game losing streak, I think it's psychological. I think it's in their heads, and that they're starting so slow, and they aren't getting revved up in time to catch up. And in talking to left tackle Donald Penn, he just said, we're so uptight, we're so on edge early in these games that we're overthinking, we're not playing like themselves. It's almost like the Raiders have a case of the yips, and it's showing up early and, again, really not allowing this team to play to its potential.
Yeah, I think that's very important, because if a leader like Donald Penn, who held out in the offseason, is coming back and talking about this, it's obviously inside that locker room. When you're inside this locker room, it doesn't seem to be any controversies. No one's really pointing fingers. Is there any second guessing at this moment heading into the Charger game?
You know, I think that that is something that I've kind of been trying to keep my eye on, and there are always some triggers that I look for. If players are ever blaming media for trying to separate this group, that's normally signs that there is some fraying along the seams. I haven't been seeing that. I've seen a group that is galvanized towards working better together, and that is a good sign. But I think they also know, JT, that during this 3-game losing streak, combined with Kansas City still being undefeated, Denver being good early on, maybe better than expected, their margin for error is maybe smaller than it would be for most other struggling teams heading into week 6. So they have to get it figured out in a hurry. I feel like there is pressure to get it done right, and you would think pressure combined with the fact that that they're already overthinking things might be a bad combination. I think, honestly, that this could spurn them forward. They were so good playing under pressure in the clutch last year. These players, so much continuity. They haven't forgotten how to win. They haven't forgotten how to play. They're just a little lost right now. I think that this might just be the type of motivation they need to finally get out from under this thing. Derek Carr is going to play. This team knows it's talented, and they know they have to show up against L.A., especially with Kansas City lurking the following Thursday night.
Raiders insider Scott Baer joins us, NBC Sports Bay Area. Let's stay on the offensive side with the offensive line. When healthy, four of the five starters should be Pro Bowlers, and they've been there before and they know how to play. Where's the nastiness? Where's the physicality? Where's the road grading? Where's the energy on the sidelines, patting each other on the back? Again, I think this is the core group of the Raiders on offense and defense, is that offensive line. Have you seen the leadership? Is someone ready to step up and take control heading into the game this Sunday against L.A.?
Yeah, JT, that's a really good point. That I, to be honest with you, I, you know, sometimes you get so focused on all the stats and the fact that they still have an NFL low in terms of quarterback pressures, and they are gaining yards off the right side, but they really became an intimidating force when a guy like left guard Kelechi Osemele is leading the way. When they can get Rodney Hudson off of a double team into the second level to make a block on a linebacker or a safety, and that those big pancakes that really motivated the entire offense, you're right, man. That is missing right now. That, yes, they are getting their 4 yards per carry, and yes, they are holding up that pocket, but you're right, that nastiness, that intimidating factor is missing, and they look to Kelechi Osemele last year to provide that, and I think the onus is on him early, whether, you know, like everybody needs to get started early, right? Amari Cooper needs that big pass. Well, Kelechi Osemele needs to lay somebody out early in this game to really set a tone. This team needs to set a tone early. This fourth quarter is as important, I'm sorry, first quarter against the Chargers is as important as any quarter you'll see all season.
We saw Amari Cooper together in Napa and in the offseason, the muscle mass he put on, the type of shape he was in. He missed several practices over a week or two, but I just thought that he was ready to take his game to the next level. Is it the fact that he's not working hard enough to get open? Is he being double-teamed over the top, the injury to Carr? It looks like the perfect storm where Amari Cooper, arguably one of the best, if not the best, young wide receiver in the game, just can't get going this season.
Yeah, it's weird because, you know, time and again, I said, this is going to be Amari Cooper's breakout year. I told my wife to draft her on her fantasy football team, and I've been getting some nasty Sunday afternoon text messages to that end. But, JT, our eyes did not deceive us. This kid had a great summer that was leading towards a very productive period here. And in talking to Jack Del Rio on Monday, how does Amari Cooper look when he's not being targeted? And the answer was the guy's getting separation. 5 or 6 times, he had a big gain ready to go had EJ Manuel looked his way, and he didn't. Now, the real question is, have his earlier drops made quarterbacks go in the other direction? That's not Derek Carr's MO. If Seth Roberts or Michael Crabtree drops a pass, if Amari Cooper had dropped a pass in the past, he almost looks for that guy again to get his confidence revved back up. That didn't happen last week. I think it needs to happen in this one, whether it's design plays from coordinator Todd Downing or something like that, just to get him into the flow of this offense. You look at his season totals right now, and you think that he could do that in one game. There's more than 100 wide receivers that have more yards than he does after 5. It is just astonishing where he is from a statistical perspective. And he, in my opinion, he's their second most talented offensive skill player. Right now, he's not showing it. I think this offense will suffer greatly unless he can get revved up.
On the defensive side, the Gary and Connolly draft pick to get him healthy and on the field. I don't know how long this is going to last. We both don't play doctor on the radio, but this is serious. And just keeping him healthy looks like it's going to be an issue going forward. The rest of the secondary is banged up. I'm waiting for guys like Mario Edwards Jr. and Bruce Irvin to really snap out of it and play at a very high level, because we know Khalil Mack is bringing his A game in and game out. Talking to the defense and being in the locker room this week, who on the defense is becoming accountable and really has to take their game to the next level?
Yeah, I think it's all about, you know, they always say rush and coverage work hand in hand. Well, it's time for the rush to really step up here. And I think that you mentioned two guys that are vital to that effort. I think Mario Edwards and Bruce Irvin understand what type of role that they have to fill in order for this team to maximize its true potential, especially now that the inside linebackers and the cornerbacks are going through this injury plague. And in talking to David Amerson, I had a good conversation with him on Tuesday, and he is of the belief that he's part of a secondary with zero interceptions, zero to this stage, that he knows that that true veteran playmakers need to make true veteran plays to help this defense out during a time where injuries have kind of worn them down. I would single out those three guys, Edwards, Irvin, and Amerson, as guys who need to step up their game, help Khalil Mack get this job done. Last year, this defense allowed a lot of points and a lot of yards, but they found a way to make big plays when it mattered most. They had 30 takeaways last year. They only have two on defense thus far, four total. That's not good enough for the way the Raiders play defense.
We'll wrap it up with Raiders insider Scott Baer, kind enough to join us. And with the Chargers coming in, look, this isn't the Chargers with Gates and LaDainian Tomlinson and Rivers were at their best. It's an aging Rivers who throws a lot of 50-50 balls up there. Obviously, the Chargers are going to want to run the ball right at the Raiders, and the Raiders are going to want to put pressure on Rivers. And we've been talking about this, Scott, as long as I know you. The Chargers are better than their record. We know they're a better team than 1-4, and they're fighting to save their season. Is this the type of opponent that the Raiders really want, or is this a wounded, dangerous animal that's ready to play their best football?
Yeah, I think it's option B for sure, and the Raiders faced another wounded animal in Baltimore last week, and they didn't respond to the fact that Baltimore was hungry and trying to keep pace with the Joneses in the AFC North. Now, I think the Raiders are also in that category. That's why I think this is going to be a real battle, a real back-and-forth thing, because if both teams know that they're either going to turn it around or they're going to be in last place in the AFC West. That's the same predicament that's facing the Oakland Raiders, the same Oakland Raiders that many people talked about being a true AFC contender. Mm-hmm. So they know that they need to get this thing turned around. I think these Raiders respect what the Chargers have on offense, and also with that Bosa-Ingram combination, they know that's not going to be easy. But ultimately, this is a time where when a season hangs in the balance, when they need to get right heading into that game against Kansas City, it's no longer about on paper. It's no longer about whether they should win or whether they're more talented. They know that on that particular Sunday, they need to do, to borrow a phrase from Khalil Mack, win by any means necessary. That's what the Raiders need to show their fans at Oakland Coliseum, and fans from Vegas to the East Bay. They need to show their fans that they're going to show up and do whatever it takes to win this vital game if they're going to continue to meet their goals throughout the course of what is still a long season ahead.
Scott, last one. I think the whole season now, and he can handle it, is on Carr. If Carr can come out of this injury and play at a Pro Bowl level and have an explosion, and the leash is taken off, and this is an offense that shows us much more than the offense we've seen through 5 weeks, and Carr can handle it coming off the injury, I think that Carr would want to put this team on his back and get big wins at home, go to Buffalo and Miami, get out of Oakland on the road after a couple of wins and keep the momentum going. Do you believe that Carr physically is up for this challenge and that the offensive playbook will be opened up a little bit more than we've seen so far so he could take advantage of opponents?
I think you absolutely have to sling it. And Derek Carr understands why the Raiders were so trusting with $125 million, because he can be their guy. He needs to be their guy at this stage. And look at the Raiders' track record when Derek Carr doesn't do well. Health aside, they don't do well when he doesn't perform. They excel when he does. That's the nature of being a franchise quarterback. That's why I think he was so disappointed that his injury came at the wrong time, when he felt like he could get this offense turned around against Baltimore. He lost a week. He will not lose two. That's why I think if you're going to make that money, if you're going to take on that type of responsibility, this is the week that leaders lead. This is the week where a public face of the franchise stands tall and shows why he deserves to be on billboards across the East Bay, across Vegas, and across Raider Nation.
Appreciate Scott. You can follow him on Twitter at BearNBCS. He's really good. He puts out his own podcast also, which is really good. Our next guest is one hell of a player back in the day. He came into the league as the best young defender back in the day, and now he's doing a great job transitioning into the media. Former Charger great Sean Merriman joins us on the Official Raiders podcast. And Sean, thanks for the time. Between the Raiders and the Chargers, which team do you think is struggling more?
Well, you got one that's lost three in a row, and you got one that just won a game that may give momentum. So both of the teams are struggling no matter which way you look at it. I just think that right now with the Chargers and them getting that good win over the Giants, which is a little bit not saying too much with all the problems they've had over there in New York, I just see one team going up and one team just struggling on the way down. So it's going to be a big momentum game for both because it's a division game. These games are always the most physical for the Chargers and the Raiders. And it's going to be a hard-fought game.
Considering Derek Carr has been hurt and he's coming back from this game, where did you think the Raiders were in the preseason coming off a 12-win season where it looked like they got better in the offseason via the draft and free agency, bringing in beast mode, Marshawn Lynch? It looked like they wanted to take that next step, and now the offensive line's been struggling, the defense has been injured. Are you surprised by their performance so far?
Yeah, I am, because I thought they had beefed up the team a whole bunch. Though they have some players like Khalil Mack and who can go out there and make big plays, they're still missing so many pieces that I think they're still a ways away. Derek Carr is no question, one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL when he's healthy, and that's not saying much because they're having injuries on both sides of the ball, especially a banged up Houston. So, like I said, this is a game if I'm going into facing the Raiders right now. If I'm playing for the Chargers, I'm looking at we can get this win. Because this team is banged up all the way around the ball, and they've lost three straight. Let's kind of kick them while they're down.
You know, I'm interested in your comparison and your analysis of Khalil Mack, because as I talk about you and introduce you, you had a brilliant career, especially early in your career when you were dominant. And Khalil Mack is really doing exactly what you were doing as he came into the league. He was just the AP Defensive Player of the Year. Do you see similarities in your early career to what we're seeing with Mack?
Yeah, I do, and he's one of my favorite players to watch. We both were dominant. I think that with him, he does some things all around a little bit better than I did. You know, I hated the drop in coverage. That was one of my things. I did it because I had to, if the defense said that I had to, I did it. But I didn't like to. He actually is all around the ball. I think that he's more dominant in that aspect of it.
Sean, I wanted to ask you about two dominant players that we're looking at with the Chargers now in Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa. Wow, considering some of the issues they have with relocation that we'll get to, at least they got cornerstone defensive players. Combined, they're leading the NFL in sacks. And I look at overall the play that we're seeing from Melvin Ingram, leading the team in the AFC with 7.5 sacks. No one saw that coming. And talk about knowing Joey Bosa and what his ceiling looks like.
I was saying early on, Melvin Ingram has always been good. You know, he's been good. He's always shown flashes of making the play. The problem with Melvin in the past was he didn't keep that light switch on. He didn't keep that switch on and play four quarters of football. We're just seeing a good pass rush here, a good pass rush there, him making a big play. He's finding a way now to be elite, and that's where his game is. That's where he's evolved in. Joey Bosa, I think we already seen that his rookie year, what he's been doing since he's on the field. And I really do believe that they're the best 1-2 combo punch in the NFL, and definitely the best since myself and Sean Phillips were there in San Diego, because sometimes you always forget about that guy on the other side because they're just as important as the guy that everybody wants to talk about.
Sean Merriman's our guest. Your friendship, your relationship, going back with Phillip Rivers, where do you think he is in the arc of his career? I think he's a future Hall of Famer, but he's had some struggles. He puts up some 50-50 balls to get picked off, but he always gets up for this game. He understands the rivalry with the Raiders.
Yeah. One thing about Phillip, he's always been competitive. He's not only the most competitive quarterback I've ever been around, but he's been the most competitive player in general. He's a linebacker throwing the ball. He has that type of mentality. Sometimes that gets the best of them. I've been at the Chargers games. I've been watching them close this year, and Phillip wants to beat you so bad by himself. He gets himself in trouble. He throws interceptions in the first, second quarter of a few games ago. And if he doesn't do that, then he'll be fine. It's okay to throw it away. It's okay to take that sack. And also, too, he's a little older in age.
You know, he's not going to sling it between two people anymore and split, you know, two DBs to connect with a wide receiver. You have to also know your limitations a little bit as an older player. So he still has that fire, and I think he can still go out there and get things done. He's still the leader of that team.
Looking at your career overlapping his, what was that like? You're a leader. You're an alpha dog. He comes in, and he's got to gain some acceptance. He's one of those guys who likes to talk. He can hear people. He'll talk back to people. When you look at that type of leadership, you were a leader. He's a leader. How did everyone get along with you two guys with your alpha male vibes in that locker room?
Well, I broke down the huddles and got the team hype. That was about it. You know, I came in, and I was kind of a spark plug. But that also fit what that team was at the time. That's the mentality. That's the character that we had. And Phillip is one of the guys that sparked also on that side of the ball. He is fiery. Like you said, he will talk back to you. And he's one of these guys you want on your team, especially in times right now when the Chargers are 1-4 and they're having a season that they're having. Phillip is not going to allow them to go downhill and be okay with it. You know, he'll call team meetings. He'll go in there and pull guys to the side and scream at them and point guys out. He'll do what he has to do to get everybody on the same page.
Sean Merriman's our guest as we wrap it up. Sean, you got a great reputation now in media. You can cross over and work for various media companies in and around the NFL. What's it been like for you with the relocation of the Chargers to Los Angeles? How have you wanted to be involved or take a step back and wait for this thing to develop? Because a lot of fans think it's ugly. A lot of fans don't want to be a part of it. I see LT, who's now involved with the Spanos family. How do you feel about it personally?
You know, I've settled in to it.
Okay.
Obviously, I was one of the guys that was an advocate of Team Span in San Diego. But once they made the move, then you still support the guys, the team, and the organization. Period. I have a lot of friends in our locker room still, in the front office. I do still have a great relationship with the Spanos family. The thing is, right now, what they have to do, they have to win some football games. So the fans who do feel a little disgruntled or the ones who aren't comfortable with the move, you'll be a little bit more comfortable when you can go and see a winning team. So I think that's the next step for them in order to get things back in order.
Leave us with one Raiders story. In the black hole, this is where the game's going to be played. You know they're hanging off the back of the black hole. You know they're cursing at you, pointing you out, screaming your name, and you're dominant early in your career looking back at that fan base. What was the vibe like when you got off the bus and walked out of the tunnel and played in the Oakland Alameda County Coliseum?
It was ridiculous. You know, I recall the time my rookie year. I think I hit quarterback back there. Almost got a sack, and I got over to the sidelines, and I was kind of talking and screaming, and one of the fans heard me. I turned my head, and they launched a 9-volt battery. They launched one of those square 9-volt batteries, and it hit the back of my helmet. But that's when I knew that day that I was in the black hole. You can't play around.
Hey, finally, what's going on with your brand and Lights Out? Your clothing company has actually done so well. People continue to talk about it. Sales are up. Tell me about that.
Yeah, you know, you check it out at lightsoutbrand.com. We have all new products, new sweatsuits coming up here now. And we just launched in Tilly's this week. So go to Tilly's.com and type in Lights Out. And we got all the products there. So we're growing, and we love making great products.
Appreciate Sean coming on, and nice comments about Khalil Mack, considering Sean had a heck of a career to start off his first three seasons. I think very similar to Khalil, but obviously Khalil a little bit ahead with that defensive player of the year already early into his tenure with the Silver and Black. And we wrap it up by going back up to Alameda, senior writer for the Silver and Black, Eddie Pascal, my teammate here on Silver and Black Productions. Eddie, obviously a really tough week when it comes to preparation. How has the team and the coaching staff been preparing with the fires and all the background noise coming into this game?
Yeah, I mean, obviously no secret here. The air quality in Alameda is not, you know, not what it should be. And, you know, head coach Jack Del Rio and his staff have taken all the necessary precautions to make sure that his guys are ready to go. They've moved the practice schedule around. They've shortened some of the practices. And, you know, they're doing everything that they can to keep an eye on the situation and make sure that these guys are ready to rock come Sunday. But, yeah, you're right. It has been an interesting week with obviously some unforeseen challenges that have sprung up because of these fires in the North Bay.
Eddie, the team has no choice other than to play a great game. And with Todd Downing, the offensive coordinator, getting Derek Carr back, and we'll see how he plays actually on Sunday coming off the injury. He's still injured. Do you get the sense that the reins are going to be taken off of him? It's going to be more explosive. The field's going to be widened. There's going to be more aggressive plays. I think the Raiders have been predictable so far this season. Carr coming back gives the Raiders an opportunity to be explosive again.
Yeah, absolutely. And when Derek is right and he is rocking and rolling, he is one of the most explosive, dynamic quarterbacks in this league. As far as what he's able to do Sunday, you know, we're going to have to wait and see and, you know, see how he responds physically and see kind of the flow of the game. But you're absolutely right. Like, you know, when Derek can do what he is capable of doing, you're hard-pressed to find a better quarterback to lead this offense. You know, we'll have to see, like I said, come Sunday, what actually happens. But I do anticipate that he's going to be put in positions to succeed and you know, hopefully get back to those high-flying, dynamic Raiders offenses we've, you know, become accustomed to the past couple of years with DC under center.
Yeah, I saw Amari Cooper in the video of him in the locker room where he was surrounded by reporters, and they were asking him if he was open, and he was kind of smiling and then giving short answers, and everybody could sense that he was not so much upset, Eddie, but frustrated with the fact that he is open in that last game, didn't get enough touches, he wants more touches. How much of this is on Amari Cooper not getting open or just the game plan not flowing towards him?
Well, you know, I think that Todd Downing, since he's taken over, has done a really good job of saying, you know, we have a plethora of playmakers on this team, and we have to figure out ways to get all of them involved. Whether it's Coop or Michael Crabtree or Marshawn Lynch or, you know, now Jared Cook. You know, there's only one football. And, you know, as dynamic as Derek is and as dynamic as that connection between him and Amari is, there's a lot of guys on this football team. And I don't think that Amari is the type of guy to bang the drum and be like, I need my touches, I need this, I need that. But I think that certainly when the defense is there and he's given his opportunities to make plays, I think that, you know, this team is better when Amari is rocking and rolling. So, you know, I'm excited to see him kind of hopefully turn that corner Sunday against the Chargers.
Eddie Pascal joins us every week inside the Raider facility up in Alameda. It's been a tough week, and clearly there's a lot of, I wouldn't call them distractions, but outside circumstances with the fire dating back to the organization and their role in helping out in Las Vegas and writing a check after the tragedy. I can't imagine all the media that's been up there also asking the players what's going on as the Raiders are riding a 3-game losing streak. Eddie, I think this is key. The defense is going to feed off the crowd coming up here on Sunday. And if Rivers can throw a couple of interceptions and get the crowd into the game, just some easy points and a touchdown on defense instead of what happened when Baltimore came in last week and they feasted on an early turnover and a couple of big plays and took the crowd out of the game. I think this is an important moment for the Raiders. 2 games in 5 days, if they can win them both, they're right back in the story in the playoff hunt.
Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right. You know, talking about those turnovers, you look at this defense last year, and one thing that Ken Norton's group did really, really well last year was get the ball back. And they haven't done that quite yet in 2017. But I was talking to Tyrell Adams today about that very thing. I said, you know, Ken makes such a big deal about, you know, one turnover leads to two, leads to three, and it kind of snowballs. And he goes, look, you're right. And he goes, we're close. We are almost there. And he goes, I think it's just a matter of us getting the first win, and hopefully the floodgates open after that. But yeah, I think you bring up a great point about the crowd, too. This defense certainly will feed off the crowd. You look at that home game, that home win against the Jets, and this defense was flying around, and they were thriving off of the noise that Raider Nation was providing. So yeah, I think you bring up an excellent point that this defense, when they get going and they can feed off that crowd with Khalil Mack and Bruce Irvin and all those guys, you know, they have the pieces to be a very dynamic and effective group.
Thanks again to Eddie for a great job, as always. Thanks for listening to this week's edition of the Official Raiders Podcast. It was challenging because everybody up in Alameda is working around the clock, not only to help out everybody in the community, but get the football team prepared to go win a game up against the LA Chargers. A big one. I'll be on the field Thursday night for Kansas City. I can't wait for that. And we'll have the Kansas City Chief podcast coming on a short week next week. For everyone at Silver and Black Productions, I'm JT the Brick, and keep it close at Raiders.com for all news regarding this upcoming game Sunday.
Thanks for listening to this installment of the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders.